Ever feel like you're talking, but your spouse isn't listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth? You're not alone.
Is it wrong to marry someone you do not love? Good question. Today on Real Family Talk, we're fielding your questions about marriage and relationships. Join us.
It's time for Real Family Talk, your questions answered. And our friend, Juliana Baglioni, is here to share questions from viewers like you. Welcome, Juliana. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, as you can imagine, we receive lots of questions, and you have the questions for us. What's our first question?
Yes, so someone wrote in on social media asking a very important question, I think. Is it wrong to marry someone you do not love?
You know, that's an interesting question.
Wow.
And it has a lot to do with what you're thinking. Let's explore a few things. Is it wrong to marry someone you do not love? First of all, what is love? That's the question I would ask. It sounds like they're thinking about love as an emotion. For us, love is a principle. And to love someone is to decide something. So if you're marrying someone, you have decided to marry them, which means you have decided to love them. At least we're hoping that that's going together, because loving is not an emotion. Yes, there are emotions involved in loving, but loving primarily is a decision.
Yeah. You know what? I think that most of us don't really understand what love is. So I often say to people, you know, if we just go to the Word of God, if we go to the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us what love is.
It does.
Right? Love is patient, love is kind. Nowhere in that passage of Scripture does it say love is a
romantic,
feeling.
Yeah?
Doesn't say love is romantic. Doesn't say love is an emotion.
Yeah.
It's actually very active. All right. So someone would say, oh, come on, you know. So we like to say that in the real world, when you think you're in love, you have like all these emotions and you have the butterflies. Mm-hmm. And when you're around this person, you just think you can't live without them.
That's infatuation.
That's actually infatuation.
Limerence.
Yeah.
Is that something that maybe we get from Hollywood, from, you know, movies and all these sorts of stories? I mean, novels also.
Absolutely. And so even though we might be reading from God's word or even reading empirical data that refutes all of this stuff about this romantic notion of love, we still want the fairy tale. And so we still believe it, and we begin to incorporate it into our perspective on love, and it frames love. And so what concerns us, I think, when we get questions like that, and they're sincere questions, the person, really what they're saying is, I don't have butterflies in my stomach about this person.
That's right.
But the truth is that after you've been married for a while, after the honeymoon, after all of this wears off, you're going to end up at a place where you think you're not in love.
Mm. Well, yeah, even more than that. Every marriage is going to lead to a place of isolation, invariably. We're different individuals. Often we want different things out of life. We don't talk about them. We don't talk about them when we are dating. Mm-hmm. If you don't like football, but your friend likes football, you act like if you like football. This is what people do because they want to get married. They want their relationship to progress, but that's not really love. Look, if that's what love is, then you're going to fall out of love. Mm-hmm. And what we say to people is, your marriage will naturally lead to a place of isolation and alienation unless you decide every day to connect with each other through the power of God. Love is of God. It's not an emotion. It's a principle. And that principle can only remain viable as we remain connected to God, so that our connection to God makes us responsible to each other and makes us recognize the fact that we have promised something to each other, and that promise needs to mean something.
Mm-hmm. And so I like to rephrase the question and say, perhaps we should say, is it wrong or right to marry someone that we don't like?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because what they're talking about is not love. It's like, you know, I like being with you. I like spending time with you. Well, we work together all the time, right? So there are times when, if I can be honest, we don't necessarily like being together anymore, right?
Sure.
I mean, we always love each other because we've decided to love. And what we do know is that we've been married for almost 35 years. And we need to be able, in fact, when this airs, it will be 35 years. We need to be able to find ways to keep the love,
the like
alive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The love is going to be there, but we need to find ways to keep the like alive.
That's correct. Let's go to the next question.
I think the next question actually fits perfectly with what we were just talking about. This person writes in and says, my marriage has not been going well for a long time. In fact, I don't love my husband anymore. There's that word, maybe she means like.
Yeah.
Although we've been married for more than 25 years and have 3 children, I don't think I can stay in this marriage any longer. My husband, a high-powered professional, has no time for me or our children. I've been waiting without success for him to get less busy. I'm out of patience, and I want out of this marriage.
Wow. So do you see? Do you see what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. You asked a really important question last time. You said, do you think we're influenced by media, by contemporary society? Yes. So the media says you fall in like, supposedly love, and they're... what do we call
butterflies,
it?
What?
Butterflies, there's
fireworks,
there's all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then when it's no longer there, I'm out of love. Now when I'm out of love, I want out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the natural progression that we think needs to happen, right? So 25 years, I've been in this thing, and I'm not happy anymore, mm-hmm. so I want out.
But there's something else happening.
Yes.
And I hear women say this all the time, mm-hmm. especially women. Oh, I want this kind of man. And this kind of man they're describing is a high-powered professional.
Executive.
Well, that high-powered professional executive is going to be very busy. And he's going to get busier as his life progresses. So all of a sudden you find yourself but not enough time, or he's not giving you enough time, or giving your children enough time. Well, you don't just walk away. You try to have a conversation. You go to a marriage retreat. You go to some counseling. You recognize that nothing is going to change because, voila, it happened.
Yeah.
No, it's going to change because you've sat down, you've had a decent conversation, an unemotional conversation.
Mm. And probably with a counselor.
Yes.
Because it's been a long time now this is happening. So we want to be sympathetic to the viewer that's writing in, because we understand how difficult it can be when you're in this place in your marriage. So what we would say, though, is to take leaving off the table.
Yes.
And now let's start from there and think, what can we do to save this marriage and to get back to the place where we were when we started? And it's very possible.
So it sounds like you're asking them to remember the decision that they made before.
Correct.
Yes. Oh,
correct.
Correct. You're good.
That's it. And get yourself a good counselor, one that believes in marriage. In a moment, we'll answer more questions about marriage and relationships. Stay tuned. On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering your questions about marriage and relationships. Juliana, what's the next question?
On the website, we received this message. My husband is opinionated and stubborn. He has an opinion about everything, and he believes he is always right. After 12 years of marriage, I am increasingly tired of it. I often argue back with all my logic and savvy to no avail. I feel that this model of communication is not workable and that our marriage will not survive much longer if it continues.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But see, what happens is people need to realize that in marriage, you can't win any argument. There's no argument to be won. Who was it that said it? Dale Carnegie, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You're not going to win anything by arguing.
And with logic.
No.
And
I mean, forget logic. There's no logic in marital relationships, you know? I mean, everybody has their own logic because everyone was raised differently and everyone has a perspective, even if they were raised on the same street. In fact, may I say that even with our siblings, we don't agree. And we were raised by the same two parents, often in the same household, and we disagree. So disagreeing is human. So we need to reframe and recognize that to be able to survive, and I mean survive, but even more than that, thrive in marriage, we need to learn how to communicate effectively. Okay? So, and I can't change my spouse. I can only change myself. I can only change my response. So if my spouse is saying something, I need to be able to also learn say something like I'm hearing you say to clarify. Because many times people are speaking about two different things, and it happens all the time. So what we want to know and what we want to make sure is that we understand what it is we're talking about. Once that's clear and clarified, then we can have a conversation. And if we disagree with what the other person is saying, it's okay to disagree. Just don't be disagreeable.
Yeah, you know what I say? Tell him he's right. You know, the problem that we have in marriage is that we actually both want to be right. So, and John Gottman, a leading marriage psychologist, says you are both right. So usually what happens is the husband says, you know what, I just think that it's ridiculous for us to have these white balls on the table. And the wife says, well, I just bought those and I think they look lovely. Okay, so he thinks it's ridiculous to have white balls on the table.
He's right.
Okay, you're right. I like them. Is it okay if we have white balls on the table?
They're also right.
You know, there are just so many ways, but we tend to want to be combative. And most of us don't want to be wrong. So the question is really interesting. And again, I want to be sensitive to what she's saying. But usually when we say that someone else is opinionated, it's because we're also opinionated.
Absolutely.
And we
want our opinion to prevail.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've learned how to live with folding towels differently, right? Because one of us thinks that towels should be folded one way and the other one thinks it should be folded the other way. And guess what? We're both right. Because guess what? There's no one way to fold a towel.
There you go.
This is the problem in marriage. We're trying to get the other person to be like us.
And that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So here's what I usually say also, that communication is in marriage is like dealing with a cold room. What do you do with a cold room? How do you get it warm? You turn up the thermostat. Okay? It means you make the place warmer. Mm-hmm. How do we communicate better? By making our relationship warmer. How's that? By being
kinder,
be nicer,
be more patient, listen more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, it goes back to it's about your response, not trying to change the other person.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you kind of have to take a step back, say, okay, what is it maybe they're trying to say? How can I respond differently so they can feel heard, et cetera?
Yes.
Try to
make
the situation not escalate.
And don't we all want to be heard?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go to the next question.
So now this is on the opposite side. We have a gentleman writing in that says, my wife often complains that I don't listen to her. Mm-hmm. I am frankly getting a bit tired of her complaining. The problem, as I see, is that she usually begins to speak first without noticing that I may be on the phone, watching TV, or engaged in some other activity. She believes that as long as she opens her mouth, I should listen to whatever she says. She tells me quite often that she spoke with me about something the day before, and I know I didn't speak with her about that. Please help. Sometimes I think I'm losing my mind.
Wow. Hey.
Welcome to our world.
Hey. Here's the deal. I remember in our early marriage, this happened a lot. And I remember that in our recent marriage, it happens a lot. but we know what's happening. In our early marriage, Elaine would speak to me from a different room. And just assuming that because she's speaking to me, I was listening.
Or the same room.
Yes, even in the same room.
Yeah.
And these days with everyone having a device and everyone tuning out on their phone, you might be speaking to someone, but they're not listening. So you are having the conversation, but they're not. So he's right. Yes, what was it again? My wife complains that I don't listen to her. Yes. It's not that he's not listening. Is that he doesn't hear her because they're not having a conversation. I remember when our son was little, maybe 3 years old, 4 years, and he'd be trying to get his mother's attention. And, Elaine can have several conversations at the same time. So he would go like this, Mommy. In other words, look at me.
Yeah.
And we used to say that to each other. Let's speak to each other in the same room, and let's have eye contact when we're speaking to each other so that we know that we're engaged. Don't just assume that because I have something to say that the other person is actually listening. But I would say to husbands, since this is a husband who's asking the question, look, husbands, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So I often say to husbands that invariably, when we quote from that chapter, we like to begin in verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. No. That's the easy part. Go to the real difficult part. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So, if husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and it's the context of submission, there's no submission without that love. And that love only takes place when it's unconditional. Mm-hmm. So someone here is getting tired. No, don't get tired. Because look, if you go from Genesis to Revelation, the church continues to sin, the church is out of line, and God continues to love. Yes. So husbands must love their wives as Christ loved the church. But he's saying, oh, I'm going crazy. I'm going out of my mind. Pray, man. Just pray. Ask God to help you. Give you patience. After all, love is patient. Love is kind. And relationships are about that kind of currency, and it only exists when we make the choice. After a short break, we'll tackle more of your questions about marriage and relationships. Stay with us.
Juliana Bayoni is here to share your questions about marriage and relationships. All right, Juliana, what do we have next?
So this also came from social media. I am 22 in my final year of university. I recently met a 20-year-old young woman who is two years behind me, pursuing a degree in the same program I'm in. We've spent quite a bit of time together during the past few months, and I think she could be the one. Is there an age that is best for getting married? If so, what is it?
Okay. All right. So there is an age that experts recommend. But before I get to that, I am intrigued by the fact that he's saying he recently met a young woman. Mm-hmm. So I'd be curious to know what recent,
yes.
you know, how soon
yes.
is recent. But yes. aside from that, so experts tell us that getting married after age 25 is probably best. And it doesn't mean that if you get married before age 25, your marriage is doomed. But the reason why we say age 25 is because we know that it has to do with the brain and the development of the brain. And our capacity to make stronger decisions are at the place where it needs to be when we're 25. In addition to the fact if you're going to university, you finished school, you're probably in your profession, and you've had some time to mature. So maturity is very important and very critical because sometimes the younger we are, we may make decisions at a time where we're really not yet fully knowing who we are. We haven't really found our purpose and our meaning, and so things might change. The other side of that is the fact that if you've only known someone for a short while, they really, and I appreciate that he's thinking, you know, there's some things about this young woman that I can see myself spending the rest of my life with, but does he really know her yet? So what we would strongly recommend is that you get to know this person and you ask important questions. You know, significant questions, not just, you know, do you like vanilla ice cream? You know, we often say that when people are in this state, this euphoric state, they're usually only thinking about what they have in common, yeah. and they really don't explore ways in which they're different. And so we usually would recommend that they get a good book, perhaps, that could guide them through. If they were a little older, I might even recommend that they do some pre-engagement
counseling,
but I don't even think they're at that place yet. So yeah. probably a good book would be helpful.
I find it interesting. He says, I met her recently, and we spent quite a bit of time together. Well, what happens is, you know what's happening, right? This limerence. He's infatuated, you know. People feel, well, it's nice to be with someone who pays attention to you. It's nice to be with someone who might get close to you. Or, you know, people tend to be very physical in these early stages, and it's all about chemistry. But, you know, that chemistry comes and goes, and it has to be more than just a physical attraction. It needs to be you're looking at values. Of course, she has 2 more years to go, at least, in school, and he may move away after he graduates. So what's going to happen in those 2 years? How close to where she's going to school is he going to be? Do you want to have a long-distance relationship? So there are many things to consider here. Basically, what needs to happen here is that they need to take it one day at a time. And if he thinks she's the one, I would hope that he's thinking about values. What do you have in common? Because the more things you have in common, the easier it's going to be to navigate this relationship. And some issues are more important than others. Age, I mean, they're 2 years apart. That's not a big deal, you know. I mean, they do need to wait. They're way too young right now. I would say at least 25. And most people are waiting even beyond 25. In fact, more people are waiting even beyond 30. And that's okay. I'm not one who advocates being in a hurry, and yet I don't think you should date that long. People dating for many years and need to be careful about that.
Yeah, and they also need to put God at the center of
yes.
it. So if this is a serious relationship, they should start praying about it.
Yes.
And they should both, if God is a part of both of their lives, they should rely on God's leading to lead in this relationship.
And since you brought that up, God, look, you need to be with someone, marry someone who has the same spiritual values that you have, because people make decisions based on their values, and people's values often have to do with how they believe about God. Mm-hmm. Let's go to number two.
So this question kind of takes what we had before and make it a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm. I met my boyfriend in graduate school, and we have been dating for about 2 years. We have been living in different cities since we completed school, about 6 months, but he's been nudging me to find a job in the city where he lives. Lately, he's been talking about getting married. And I'm not 100% sure I want to marry him. He has several habits that simply repel me, and his parents are a complete mess with each other, as well as with their family. If we have children, I don't want them to be related to this family. What should I do?
Run. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, I mean, marriage is already challenging, and it's wonderful, but it's challenging because you are coming together with someone who's different than you are. And people say, oh, we have so much in common. You need to have some premarital counseling.
Oh, my goodness. This is not, don't even, do not go to pre-engagement. She doesn't like him.
She doesn't like him.
We've been talking about this whole thing about being in love. She's not even in like.
She's not even in like.
So where does this go?
She doesn't want to be related to his family.
She doesn't want to be related to his family.
Forget about it.
She doesn't like his habits.
This is a non-starter.
Okay, I know sometimes we're a little straightforward, but marriage is not for cowards.
No.
This is serious. Marriage is holy.
This is like Monopoly, though.
You know,
go directly past go.
$200.
No.
Just keep going.
There's nothing to consider.
Yeah, she doesn't like it.
No.
There's nothing to even consider.
No.
On this one. I mean, you're a young adult. I mean, what do you think?
I feel that there are enough red flags that she has to listen to herself.
Yeah, if this
too.
Were your friend.
I would say if this was my friend, listen to yourself. You know, if you've been praying about this and you're still feeling all these things, you need to know that these are coming to you for a reason. These are warning signs.
Yeah.
And cut it off while you can. Because once you get married and you start having these kind of situations, they get much more serious to deal
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
And they're going to happen. If you don't like his family now, you're not going to grow to like him.
Because we don't just marry the other person.
No,
so she's very bright because she brings up some very salient points where she's saying, I don't even like his family. They're a mess.
Yeah.
So this is not, I mean, again, you're not going to break up with someone just because you don't like their family. But like you said, there's so many red flags. So don't go through with it. And we see this all the time. People go through with it because there's the pressure of you've dated for a while and now you're older. This is past grad school. And the clock is ticking as many women start to feel. And then they feel peer pressured. But don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Just move on and trust God to find you the person that he wants for you and that he wants for your life.
Because actually it's better to be alone than in bad company. And if this person has so many habits that you don't like, that's bad company. Yes. Well, some good questions today. Thank you, Juliana, for bringing them to us. And thanks to you, our viewers, for your questions and for watching Real Family Talk today. We'll see you next time.